Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Frank Spampinato, Chief Acquisition Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Pete Boyer. Frank, in recent years, the size of the acquisition force has remained somewhat stagnant, while procurement's spending has certainly increased. Now, it's pretty well known that agencies have had the ability to rehire retired acquisition personnel, but only a few agencies have really sought to formally use this authority. Could you elaborate on the benefits as well as perhaps some limitations in pursuing this type of strategy? But more importantly, do you have plans to use this authority to fill some of the staffing needs you may have?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I think the solution to our workforce crisis, it's not going to come through one big idea. I think it's going to be a lot of smaller ideas. I think it's a good strategy, and it'll accrue substantial benefits in the area of more of mentoring and training. I learned contracts from the ground up, and I had a lot of good people teaching me that. You know, these days we don't have those people. We don't have the 7 to 10 years, 7 to 12 years experienced people in the numbers that we need to teach the new contracting officers. So, if rehired annuitants want to come in and just, you know, knock out contracts, I mean, that's fine. But I think the biggest gains are the gains that it will accrue through knowledgeable, experienced mentors. And, you know, we're currently working to try to develop policy on this, and I think we're definitely looking to utilize this in the future.
So, like as you say, it's really just one of perhaps a portfolio of different strategies that you guys can take.
I think there are going to be a lot of things that we haven't probably even invented yet, unless you're stealing them from another agency or department.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because along those lines, I understand that some of the acquisition staff doesn't necessarily leave to go to the private sector, but in fact, there's a fair amount of movement in between agencies as people are chasing more attractive pay. So what issues does such a situation present for federal agencies, and, you know, what can the acquisition community do to devise a common set of incentives for all agencies that will help share this limited wealth of acquisition talent?
Well, you know, I think that's a great question. And, you know, you see this all over the government. Agencies and departments are able to offer, you know, differing levels of benefits, like relocation, tuition reimbursement, those types of things. And since every agency needs people, we sometimes find that at DOE, you know, we'll get people in, get them all trained up, and see them leave for someone who can offer some of these amenities. The two concerns for me in this area are, first, we often aren't one of those agencies who can offer some of these nice perks. Second, and more important, I think, are the long-term implications for the acquisition career service. You know, when I entered the career service 20 years ago, promotions happened, but we had more of an opportunity to learn before our promotions came, I think. I learned the different types of contracts, programs, how we interacted with other administrative functions, all types of contracts. So by the time I got to GS-15, I had a real good foundation, you know, not just training-wise, but kind of boots-on-the-ground training, the everyday trials and tribulations of contract administration and that type of thing. But today, you know, our new entrants into the workforce are very bright, and I like to see these young colleagues promoted just as much as anyone else does. But my concern is that I think we're moving some of them on too fast, moving them along, filling where we desperately need people in slots, we're filling them. But I'm concerned in the long term, some of these COs will be called to step up to leadership positions in the career service. And I'm afraid that they'll be at a bit of a deficit because they haven't had some of that foundational training that others have had.
It is a riskier approach both for them individually as well as the organizations they serve.
Now, Frank, given the complexity and importance of DOE's numerous, unique, and complex multi-million-dollar projects, from an acquisition management perspective, how has your department sought to improve its project management discipline and structure for monitoring project performance?
Well, you know, this area is very critical to the department, especially project management, because over time, if I might mention, the GAO High Risk Series has evolved from a heavy focus on contract management to a a heavy focus on project management with a little bit of a focus on contract management. So, you know, this is critical to the department. And in that vein, we've brought on a top-notch director of the Office of Engineering and Construction Management. Paul Bosco has a lot of DOD experience in this area. He's a top-notch guy. And, you know, we do a lot of, I'm not intimately involved with the processes, so, you know, I can't specifically say, but we do a lot of independent project review. If it's a highly complex effort, we do a technical independent project review. We do external independent review. So I think what I'd like to stress here is that we do review these major complex projects, and these reviews are independent reviews, okay? Focus on independence, which, of course, is a good thing. You know, I think we're really making some great changes in this area. Matter of fact, Paul has taken the lead on our root cause analysis that we're putting together right now. I'm really encouraged by the direction that we're taking in this area.
Balancing the appropriate number of DOE contracting officials with the growth of your portfolio is always a challenge. To that end, what changes have you made to your recruitment process to attract quality employees who possess critical competencies?
While my eye is more focused on the acquisition workforce, I think it'd be fair to say that this question should also mention how the portfolio might have changed in complexity, you know, not only in how big the portfolio has become. So this would tell us not only that maybe we need more, you know, more people, we do need people, but the skills mix of the people that we do need might be quite different from the skills mix we needed 5, 10, 15 years ago. For instance, an acquisition around the 1990s, the department had roughly twice the number of M&O contracts as they have today. So in the early 90s, it might be appropriate to say we needed fewer government contracting personnel to administer contracts because they just weren't needed at the time. Now, fast forward to 2007, the number of M&O contracts is about half of what it was in the 90s, and most of those contracts have been replaced with performance-based vehicles, incentive vehicles, and we've also seen an increase, a big increase in prime contracts over time to small businesses. So this might tell us we'll need more government personnel, but in addition to how many, again, we have to think, what type of personnel do we need? This is where the competency surveys and the gap analyses that are currently going on out there, this is where they come into play, and this is currently an ongoing effort. Now, in terms of compensation strategies, my take is that while we have the ability to do some of these things, and we do, they're often not fully funded, so therefore, even though you have the ability, they're just not going to happen. Breaking good news is that this year we've been able to put an additional considerable amount of resources into our acquisition career development program, and this is very encouraging for us, you know, especially when you have a workforce that, you know, you have to have certified and recertified, and it's very training intensive, as you know, the acquisition workforce. So we're very encouraged by the additional money that we've retained in our budget for this.
No, that's terrific. And in a similar vein, we understand that it's critical to keep your procurement and acquisition staff engaged. Could you tell us more about the Department of Energy Procurement Executive Award Program, and in what ways does it seek to recognize innovation and overall excellence in the DOE acquisition community?
That's a great question, keeping the acquisition workforce engaged. This specific program was set up to recognize employees, you know, contractors as well as staff in acquisition and property management workforce who go above and beyond the call of duty in their jobs, you know, promoting such things as innovation, excellence, efficiency, being creative. I mean, recognition is always a great way to keep personnel engaged, and I believe the procurement executives at DOE recognize that and do a great job of it. But, you know, in addition to this, I might add also, something I've learned throughout my acquisition positions throughout the government, another way to keep the acquisition professionals engaged is to keep them close to the mission. You know, I've seen this both at DOE and in my days in the Intel community, especially if you're operating at a procurement function which is geographically removed from the mission, and you might be purchasing relatively small and seemingly, you know, insignificant items. You know, visits to customer sites. You know, we used to have things, mission tapes, that would show exactly, you know, what was going on, what we were supporting, you know, space vehicles we might be supporting and what was going on out there. You know, something that just reflected the end results of our efforts. And, you know, people would look at that and say, wow, I purchased something for that satellite. And so I think there's, you know, this is also kind of a multifaceted thing to keep acquisition workforce engaged. And I think it's critical to keep them close to the mission.
Frank, I want to go back to your description from an earlier segment of the department workforce. I believe you characterize it as about 116,000 employees across DOE, and about 16,000 of those were government employees. Could you tell us how managers can effectively manage this ever-increasing blended workforce? You know, what are some of the key differences intrinsic to these two groups, and how do you manage this, especially as it relates to the work that you do at the labs?
Well, personally, I can't speak for the entire organization, but one thing I do believe is that the DOE contracting model will and must remain intact. Even though there are definitely areas which can withstand reform, and the department has been slowly but surely doing this, as evidenced by a huge increase in a number of incentive-type performance-based contracts over time, I don't see in the near future where the resources will become available to achieve the department's mission in a different way. But regarding the blended workforce, I think this is a discussion that is it seems like it's been around for a while, but I think serious discussion on a blended workforce has really started. And I think it's got to take place in another context that I'd like to mention. You know, there's a talk a while back about taking a fresh look at the term inherently governmental. I think this is more important than most think. You know, if we don't receive the resources or types of resources that we need in the near to midterm, my question is, you know, what work do we stop doing? Understandably, we're not going to resolve this workforce issue, workforce crisis, you know, like tomorrow. But, you know, if we don't start to solve this thing, okay, what are we going to stop doing? There's always talk of cutting staff here, cutting contractors there, you know, while acquisition budgets continue to rise. So who's going to do the work? While we must determine how many and what type of people we need, maybe we have to take a serious look at what is inherently governmental. You know, the situation has changed drastically since this was first defined, and I know the General Accountability Office has been talking about this a bit and looking at it, and I think we have to really take a serious look and decide, you know, who's going to do the work out there.
It's certainly a challenge. What does the future hold for the U.S. Department of Energy's acquisition function? We will ask Dr. Frank Spampinato, Chief Acquisition Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.